Hope everybody had an easy and meaningful fast. So that's that. I think Asarat B'Tevet is the only time of the year that it's late enough. It starts late and ends, well, forget about it, ends early, but it starts late enough that I can actually wake up and drink a coffee. Usually, the most counterproductive thing you can do on a fast is wake up and eat or drink something before the fast, because I don't know about, you know, physically, but at least psychologically, it's better if you sleep longer than wake up to eat. It does the body better. That's at least, that's what I feel for me. But anyway, so yesterday we had the grand hakdama for Hilchot Dikduk. I want to start with some of the, I brought in some related halachot and the like. The building blocks of Dikduk, which are really the building blocks of the Torah, and the building blocks of the entire creation, as the Rei HaKadosh writes in Shara Otiyot, is the Aleph Bet and the Nekudot. Now, the Zohar HaKadosh is chock full of Nekudot and their meanings, meaning obviously the Zohar HaKadosh wasn't written with Nekudot, but it speaks about the Nekudot and what they mean, what they represent. Now, I'm not going to focus on the Kabbalistic and esoterical meaning of the Nikudim, but we will focus on pronunciation, utterance, tenua gdola, tenua ktana, basic rules of Dikduk in order to execute the pronunciation properly. So I'll try to, as much as possible, in the 28 minutes that we have left, go through the Aleph Bet and pronunciation of the Nekudot. It's not going to be like a first grade thing, Kamatz Aleph. I'm just going to explain to you, you know, in yeshiva, they don't usually explain to you how to pronounce the letters properly, at least based on the Gedolei HaDaikanim. So we'll do that today. I didn't even start. We got questions. Go ahead. Yeah.
But besides for the general recording, do you want me to also take individual recordings of each letter?
No. Is that fine? Yeah. It's fine. Yeah.
How is it that the Zohar HaKadosh talks about Nekudot when they were only invented a years after?
So that's not... That's not entirely accurate. Apparently they were invented before, meaning, you know, they pronounce things, and Nekudot are just a way. Obviously there's no Nekudot in the Torah, neither Torah Shebichtav nor Torah Shebe'alpe, when it was written, you know, Bichtav Yad. But Nekudot are just symbols of how, or representations of how letters and words are supposed to be pronounced. Because, you know, as the Gemara speaks about several times, I'm sure if you've ever learned Masechet Makot, Yesh Em La Mikra, Yesh Em La Masoret, that there are different ways of pronouncing things in the Torah, ways that they are spelled, ways that they are pronounced based on Kabbalah tradition. Not only that, you know, there are several words in the Torah that are spelled one way and pronounced completely different. And the Shulchan Aruch actually brings down that if a person pronounces the words, you know, that's what we call kri uchtiv. If a person pronounces the words against the tradition, which means pronounces them as they are written, as opposed to the tradition of pronouncing them otherwise, misalkinoto, you have to warn him, and if he doesn't stop, you take him off. There's many, many such examples for that in the Torah.
So,
Nachon, Em La Mikra, Nachon. Sukkot, 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 Sukkot. There's different. That's where's that Gemara? Sukkot Dav. You got this.
First there.
Yeah. Vavamutbet. Vavamutbet. Machloket who and who in order to derive what and what. Sukkot or Sukkot. Machloket Rabbanan v'Rabbi Shimon. You want to figure out whether or not a Sukkah is Shnaim kilchatan u'shlishit afilu tefach, which is the Rabbanan Rabbi Shimon holds shlosha kilchatan u'rvi'it afilu tefach. Chazara, chazara, lachamo, yeah. Chazara is the name of the game. Yeah, chazara. Yeah. I always, when I, as a Sephardi kid growing up in Ashkenazi yeshivas, I spoke Ashkenaz, but there's one thing that always got under my skin and I never liked it. When you're speaking Yinglish, yeah, when you want to tell somebody in yeshivish to review something, or you have to review, how do you say that? You have to?
Chazer.
Chazer. And that never sat well with me. Why would I want to pig something? You know what I'm saying? Like, I never liked, in Lashon HaKodesh, you'd say, tzarich lachzor, yeah? Or in English, you would say you need to review, but like taking the Yiddish application and just throwing it into English doesn't sound good. But that's what they say. You got a chazer. Okay, yeah. Right. So now, let's start with the Aleph Bet. I'm going to... Now, there are different combinations, there are different classifications of letters in Lashon HaKodesh. Some are otiyot, groniot. Some are guttural letters. Guttural means coming from the back of the throat. Some are otiyot, leshoniot. Some are letters that come rolling off the tongue. Some are otiyot, haichiyot. You know what that means? It's haich. Haich, palate. Which means it's the letters are formed through the contact of the tongue and the palate. There are different ones. So, so there are different letters, and you have to know which category it fits into. So again, like I spoke yesterday to some of you, different, you know, there's not one community, there's not one-size-fits-all masorit and minhag for all of Bnei Sfaradim. There's no such thing. What do you think, by Ashkenazim, there's one-size-fits-all? Do Litvaks speak like Hasidim, or Hasidim like Erbalanders, or like Polish, or like Galician? They all have, you know, there's different ways of pronunciation, different masorot. The same thing goes by Sfaradim. By Sfaradim, the Syrians are going to talk one way, and the Persians another way, and the Moroccans another way. I'm going to tell you, though, there is a common denominator among all of the Eidot. Now, there may be, I'll try to point them out as we go along, there may be subtle differences, but this is the Makor. This is the Ikar and Makor. Aleph is pretty easy. Now, the only thing that the Shulchan Aruch says that a person has to be careful when he says an Aleph, there's some people that, you know, Aleph, that's very... There's only four places in Tanakh, if you paid attention to the riddles I asked on Parashat Miketz, only four places in Tanakh where an Aleph actually has a dagish, and that's actually very hard to do. Vayavi'u, yeah? It's hard to be madgish in Aleph, because usually an Aleph is a very soft, subtle sound. Ooh, yeah. And Aleph doesn't have a sound by itself. It always has to be connected to either a cholam or a shuruk, an aleph or any other nikud, because an aleph doesn't have a sound in and of itself. It only, think about what I'm saying. An aleph only receives its sound from what? Nikud. From the accompanying nikud, as opposed to other letters that innately have a sound to them. Aleph doesn't have a sound, right? Even when you say ah, what's ah? That's an aleph with a patach. An aleph without a patach just really doesn't have a sound because you can't enunciate it. You have to be careful, says the Shulchan Aruch, not to... Anytime you overkill the otiyot, that's bad. Sometimes people overdo the aleph and make it nine. Yeah? No, nachon. Aleph, keep an aleph. Now, that's that. Bit. Bit, keep shuto ki mashma'o. Now, there's bit and vit, which is, we'll call bit degusha and bit refuya. There's bit with the dot, with the dagesh, and bit without. There are certain communities in among the Sfaradim that do not differentiate between bit degusha and bit refuya. Namely, Syrians. Now, when I say Syrians, in general, it spreads to Syrians, Lebanese, Egyptians. They're usually in the same boat. And Iraqis. If you've ever heard them praying, they don't differentiate between bit and avit. Yeah? You don't usually, when you look in the poskim, they don't refer to it as bit and vit. They refer to it as bit degusha or bit refuya. Now, if you listen to Chalabim pray, if you listen to Iraqis pray, they say, Maren Abraham. Abraham. Okay, Zemin Hagam. The more correct, though, and Rov Kechol Asfaradim, and that we find there is precedent for it, the Minchachai, Radak, Rav Saadia Gaon, all the greatest Midakdekim do bring precedent for differentiating between a Bet Degusha and a Bet Refuya. That if you have a standing minhag, if you're part of that, one of those communities, and we continue with that, top, said it. But otherwise, there is a standing difference between a bit and a vit. Go ahead.
If you mix them up, let's say in Kerkatora,
you have to. No, you don't have to. The geshim, unless they change the meaning, although we said yesterday, what was the machloket we saw yesterday in Maran? Siman Kuf Mem Bet. Maran Rama. What did Maran say? That a change in Nikud. No, that was Rama. Da'at Maran is even a change in Nikud that does not change the Mashma'ut. You have to be Chozer. But that's only by Nikud. But by Dagesh, that's not Mashana Mashma'ut. Dagesh is not a Nikud. Now, sometimes, like we spoke about yesterday, Yamin Yamin, a dagesh can change the mashmaut. But if you make a mistake on a dagesh, somebody asked me today, somebody heard the shir, somebody asked me, Par'o, Far'o, Kina'an, China'an. Lida'at marana shulchan aruch. What do you say? Do you have to be chozer for that or not?
No.
Why?
Because dagesh is not a nikud.
Yafe. Dagesh is not a nikud, and there's certainly no difference in mashma'ut between Par'o and Far'o. I'll speak Be'ezrat Hashem in the next year about the rules. How am I supposed to know whether to pronounce it Par'o or Far'o? Kina'an, China'an, Berid, Verid. How am I supposed to know? Yeah.
I don't want to jump the gun, but is that going to apply to all of you? That even the ones that there is like a significant difference? Like,
meaning?
Like a Vimel versus Gimel? That if we mess that up, that doesn't change the meaning?
For sure not. For sure not. Because if I'm telling you that a lack of a dagesh, or putting a dagesh where it's not necessary in the primary dgushim, the primary otiyot dgushot are beged kefet, bet, gimel, dalet, kaf, pe, taf. Certainly in otiyot that have sometimes dagesheim, if you weren't madgish, kof, teit, sledi, whatever it is, yeah, next week, but parashat va'era. Anybody's bar mitzvah parashat va'era?
My brother.
Who, Yosef?
Yeah.
Parashat va'era, it talks about the first seven makot. So over there, hasfar da'im, and then there's one word over there in the Torah, it says, vata'al hasfardeya. That's Sfardaim hasfardeya is because it was a specific one. So over there, the Sadi has a dagesh, so it's a totally different thing. So we'll get to there, Be'ezrat Hashem. So that's bet and bet. Yeah, go ahead, Daniel. That's mapike. That's a special kind of dagesh that over there it's actually mishane mashmaut. That's mapike is an exception to the rules of the dagesheim because over there it means to represent feminine. Only in that usage by mapike. For instance, Isha, what's the difference? Isha is a woman. Isha means Ish Shelah, means her husband. Two different words. Many times a person's not, now again, there's different ways, different Baalei Kodim, it doesn't have to be so, Isha, sometimes it's, no, I've heard explosions, you know what I'm saying? Take it, you don't have to do that either. It can be subtle, Isha, like professional Medakdakim and Baalei Kodim, know how to be medakdik with subtleties. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to blow anybody away. You don't have to make any Hiroshimas. Just like regular. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. No overkill. Yeah.
A little unrelated with the truck.
Yeah.
It sounds weird. Should we correct them if they mess it up?
No.
If it's not so pasuk.
Oh, yafeh. So that we saw in Maran yesterday that we're not machzir al te'amim. Both Maran and Rama agree. It's a bit Yosef says meforash that you're not machzir on te'amim. You're only go'er. You tell him next time, Adoni, Tadayek Tov. By the way, you wanted to know the Gemara yesterday about Al Tikre, Simah Ela Simanead, Aruvin Dafnu Dalet Amud Bet. Yeah, anyway, Mikol Makom. So he says, you know what I feel like? I feel bad. What's the guy from North Korea? He always has these little guys writing down everything. You know what he says? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. He always has these guys if they don't write every single word, if they miss a word, they're dead. I feel bad. Yeah, tizrom, atida. It's here on the teleporter. Anyway, mikol makom. So listen carefully.
I want to be able to take down the words of
a tzaddik. Don't insult the tzaddik. Now, anyway, b'kitzer rabotai, so we're up to Gimel. Now, Gimel is a very, very tricky letter. And I'll explain to you. Especially if you grew up in an Ashkenazi yeshiva, you may have absolutely no idea what I'm talking about. But, like I told you a minute ago, Gimel is one of the ikare hadegeshim. Why? It's one of the foremost dagush letters or lack thereof. Because it's part of the beged kefet, bet gimel. Hey, wait a second, what does that mean? That sometimes it'll have a dagesh and sometimes it'll be rafui. So by Ashkenazim, you'll never catch an Ashkenazi dead being mavdil between gimel and gimel, right? It's just a gimel. Aval ha'emet yored darka, there's got to be a difference. What's the difference between a gimel degusha versus a gimel refuya or she'ena degusha? There is a difference. So the way the Ben Ish Chai and other, it brings it down from Kadmonim, the way they refer to it is gimel degusha is the way everybody knows that we'll call the international gimel, G, besides for Temanim. Temanim, when there's a gimel degusha, they do J. I don't know if you ever prayed with Temanim. Bore periha jafen. Yeah, they do. They make a J out of it. That, according to the Gaon Mivilna, brings a raya in his Pirush. You know, the Gaon Mivilna was a tremendous mekuban. You know that. Gaon Mivilna was a tremendous mekuban. He wrote several Pirushim on Tikkuni HaZohar, on the Zohar HaKadosh, on many different. So in his Pirush on the Hakdamat Tikkuni HaZohar, the Gaon Mivilna writes that Gimal is an ot gronit. It comes from the back. Where's Gimal come from? From the back of the throat. If you j, where's it coming from? Comes from the teeth. Ot sheinit. That's not, he says, according to the Zohar HaKadosh, that's not true. And therefore, now again, they have masoret of millennia. You know, Temanim are probably some of the most authentic Jews that we have today. I don't know if you ever paid attention to Temanim and Hagim. They're super authentic because they've been there for thousands of years. They've been there since before Churban Bayit Rishon. They were there before Churban Bayit Rishon in Teman. They didn't come back to Eretz Yisrael by the rebuilding of Bayit Sheni. They've been there ever since until they emigrated out of Teman, I don't know, 80 years ago, and they went to Eretz Yisrael or to America or wherever else they went. So they're pretty authentic. But this specific thing, we don't buy from the Temanim. In Lashon HaKodesh, at least we hold, at least according to the Gaon's understanding of the passage from the Zohar HaKadosh, there is no J sound. There's only a G sound. Now, that being said, that's for a Gimal Degusha. What do you do for a Gimal She'enag Degusha? What do you do for a Gimal Refuya? So over there, that will be, that's also, that comes from the back of the throat, that's also Gronit, but it's something that is a little bit more like what we'll call the Israeli or Lithuanian Resh. You ever hear how Israelis speak Hebrew?
Or French,
Israeli, Lithuanian. You ever hear older Ashkenazim from Lithuania? Baruch Ato Hashem Elokein. Yeah. Baruch. Maze. That's the way they pronounce the R with a R. That's really the Rimal Refuya sound. Maren Avraham. Maren. Because there's no dagesh over there. There's got to be a difference. Now, again, certainly this is not me'akev. If a person says Magen Avraham, being a apostle, all of Am Yisrael, ma'pitom, 90% of Am Yisrael shelo, that they're not so makpid, of course you're yotze. But what? Ikara digduk is what I'm telling you. The r sound. Now, a lot of Israelis, even the super medakdakim, fall into this trap. Why? Because they're used to that sound as being a resh. But that sound is not, when you speak Hebrew, it's okay to say resh. But when you're reading in Lashon HaKodesh, that R sound doesn't belong to a Resh, because a Resh is a Resh, but the R is a Rimal. Verstehst? Got it?
The way I've always been doing it is Maren Abraham and Resh. Is that accurate somewhat? Or?
You're pretty good. Pretty good.
It's like Per
okay, yeah, no, that works. Yeah? Yes and no. Yes, because it's, yeah, that's how they would spell it with like a G-H. Yeah, like, okay, that's fine. The only problem is, once you bring Persianisms into this, now I'm not bashing it. No, Chas V'Shalom. No, listen carefully. I'm just saying to get it right, many times they'll use that sound to dull the sound of the Kuf, which is also a mistake that they make. When we get to the Ot Kof, we'll speak about that, because they sometimes Rimal Kof, Yarov. No, Mama. En Shama Rimal, the Kof. But it's a totally different thing. So let's put that aside. But yes, so there's actually a famous video. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's easy enough to find it online. One time, Rabbi Avraham Yosef, the chief rabbi of Holon, and Maran's second eldest son, Maran Zichron Bracha, so he was visiting Maran Zichron Bracha in Harnof, in Yerushalayim, and he was there, so Maran Zichron Bracha asked him to be Shliach Tzibur. So, actually interesting, where was Rabbi Avraham Yosef born?
Sorry.
Egypt. He was actually born in Egypt. During Maran's three-year tenure there as of Bedin, but then after 3 years they moved out. So he was born in Egypt, but he was raised in Israel. So he speaks, as do all of Maran Zichron Bracha's children, like Israelis. So now, that being said, shalom. Now, yeah. Anyway, simchat chaim. So now, when he went up to be chazan, you know, in Maran Zichron Berachah Shul, he used to have like a little break between between Tachanun and Ashrei, so that they could take off Rashi and switch to Rabbeinu. It was like a 2-minute break. So he went into the room. They videoed this, and both Maran Zichron Berachah and Rabbi Avraham, they went into the room to change their tefillin. As they're putting on the tefillin, going back into the shul, Maran Zichron Berachah turns to Rabbi Avraham and he says, "Chazak Baruch, yafeh meod," on the tefillah. He says, "אבל למה אתה אומר מגן אברהם? מה זה מגן אברהם? צריך להגיד מגן אברהם. זה רים על בלי דגש. למה אתה עושה עם דגש?" So he told him, "אבא, אני מנסה, אבל אני לא יכול." Israelis, you know, since in Israel, you should know, dikduk is a little bit harder sometimes for Israelis. You know why?
Because
their spoken language is Hebrew. And when your spoken language and your scriptural language are supposed to be the same, it's kind of hard to switch if you speak English as your first language. So, okay, you know that the grammatical rules of English and the sounds of English and the phonetics don't necessarily apply to Lashon HaKodesh, so you kind of make like a split. Here's English, and here's Hebrew. But in Israel, it gets a little bit harder. So he told him, he's like, "I can't, I tried." He's like, "אבל לימדתי אותך." He's like, "I taught you." "למה אתה?" He's like, "אבא, אני לא יכול." He's an older man, he's in his 70s already. So אני לא יכול, and Maran Zichron Berachah is giving Musa. He's like, "אין לא יכול, לימדתי אותך." He says, "I taught you, you got to do it." That was the Riman. So, moving on to Dalit. Now Dalit is another very interesting letter because it also belongs to the Beged Kefet, which means that the sound of the Dagesh or lack thereof in the Dalit will change the sound of the letter. Now, I want you to understand, when I say Beged Kefet versus any letter in the Aleph Bet can have a Dagesh. Yes? Any letter in the Aleph Bet can have a Dagesh. What's the difference between Beged Kefet and the other letters? Yefe. By the other letters in the Aleph Bet, the only thing a Dagesh does is that it intensifies, it makes the sound of that letter stronger and sharper. By Beged Kefet, the Dagesh or lack thereof actually changes the sound to a letter. Hence, Bet, Vet. Gimal, Gimal. Now we're up to Dalit. Now Dalit with the Dagesh is, you know, that's the, we'll call it the universal Dalit. That's Dalit. Now Dalit without a Dagesh, which is very, very important, of unbelievable importance, is to know the correct sound of Dalit Refuya, which is the, like a TH, as in the, them, they. Dalit. Why? Maran HaShulchan Aruch says Miforash in Siman Samach Aleph and in Hilchot Kriyat Shema. He quotes a Gemara. We know that when a person, what's the most, there's a machloket haposkim, how much of Kriyat Shema a person has to be mechaven in order to be mekayem the mitzvah. Tremendous machloket haposkim. Da'at Maran HaShulchan Aruch is how much do you have to be mechaven? First pasuk. Bet Yosef, and that's what he seemingly holds in Shulchan Aruch, is the first pasuk only with Baruch Shem. Zeo. Pri Chadash holds the first parasha. Other poskim hold first two parashiyot. Nobody holds that you have to be mechaven in vayomer. Meaning, the mitzvah of yitziat mitzrayim, that's a different story. But in terms of kavana, for mitzvat kriyat shema, you don't need vayomer for that. Da'at Maran HaShulchan Aruch v'chen halacha is that minimal kavana for kriyat shema is the first pasuk. Everybody knows the kavanot. Now, in order to be able to assist us in having maximum kavana, especially in the last word of that pasuk of Shema, which is Echad, what is a person supposed to be mechavin by Echad?
The oneness of God is
Aleph. Aleph, you break it up. Aleph, Chet, Dalet. Aleph is Echad, Yachid, Umyuchad. Hashem, who's the one and only. Chet is Hasholet. Bezayin Rekiim uva'aretz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls the seven heavens and the earth altogether is eight. Then you have Dalit. Umoshel, Hashem controls, Arba Ruchot Ha'olam. Hashem controls the four directions. Now, in order to aid in that kavana, says the Shulchan Aruch based on the Gemara, you're supposed to be ma'arich in the letters a little bit. How so? Says Maran, don't be ma'arich, don't elongate the Aleph. Why? If you elongate the Aleph, Chas V'Shalom, it can sound like a person saying Echad, which means what? E, in Lashon HaKodesh, is אפשר להתקיים. What does that mean? Not. חס ושלום, not one. Therefore, even at the expense of not being as מכוון, but don't say that, Ela alef fes echa. Now he says v'yarich k'tzat b'chet me'at echa, and then he says v'yarich yoter mimenu b'dalet. On the dalet you should be the most ma'arich, which means quick. Ha is longer. Longest is dalet. All the poskim ask, hey, wait a second. How are you supposed to be ma'arich in the dalet? Watch. This is, let's try. Let's try to, you know, try this at home. Echad. You see, how do you make a dalet? Dalet is an ot chaychit. Contact of the tongue, tip of the tongue with the palate. Echad, once you made contact, the letter stops. All right? Echad. Done. Huh? No. You're doing something else. But the, first of all, there's no nikud under the dalet, right? There's nothing under there. So what are you going to tell me? Okay, just do echad de So you're elongating the but the dalet itself gets stuck. So what's going on? How am I supposed to elongate the dalet? So there's machloket between the Bet Yosef and the Magen Avraham. How to accomplish that? Magen Avraham, don't forget, is Ashkenazi. Gaon Gadol, Rabbeinu, what was his name of the Magen Avraham? You got to know this. Yafeh. Good try. Yafeh. Good. Hagaon Rabbi Avraham Abale, that was his name also. Halevi Gumbiner, that was his name. Yeah, he was from Kalish. His name was also Avram Kalish. He was from Kalish. He lived in the early 1600s. One of the chief poskim, mefarshim of Shulchan Aruch Or HaChaim, without whom, look, there's no page in Mishnah Brura or any of the poskim on Or HaChaim that don't bring it down Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham, Kodesh Kadashim, mefarshim on Or HaChaim, you can't move without him. Magen Avraham, who's on the other side? Taz, Arab Turei Zahav. Yeah? Who's the Turei Zahav? Nice, but he had a name. Yeah. Rabbeinu David HaLevi Segal. Yeah, he was the Av Bedin of Levov. He lived early, basically the same time as the Magen Avraham. Now watch this. Magen Avraham answers classic Ashkenazi. Ashkenazim don't differentiate between Dalet and Dalet, and therefore, according to him, how are you supposed to be Ma'arich? He says the way to be Ma'arich is Ma'arich Bekavana. He says Maran doesn't mean necessarily to be Ma'arich in the enunciation of the letter. He means to be Ma'arich Bekavana. Aleph, quickest. Chet, you're Ma'arich Bekavana Yoter. And then Dalet, you're Ma'arich Arbe. Okay. Da'at Maran is not that way. If you look at Pshat Maran and Shulchan Aruch, he's Kavana also. But when he says to be Ma'arich, when he says to elongate, he doesn't necessarily mean by Kavana. So how's Maran going to pull it off? Answer is very simple. According to what we just explained, it's wonderful. Over there, if you look at the Dalet of Echad, there's no Dagesh over there. It's Dalet Refuya. So go for it. Now, Echad. Now again, it doesn't have to be that long, but there you go. When it's a the sound, it's very easy to elongate. Boom, ra'aya meforeshet from Shulchan Aruch, that there is a difference, not that we needed this ra'aya, but you see meforash, that he references a difference between a dalet degusha and dalet she'ena degusha. Avtim, that's so important, A, for Shema, and what else is it very important for? Nachon, but especially what word? Shem Hashem, Shem Adnut. When a person says Adnut, the way we say Hashem's name, Aleph, and Dalet, and Nun, and Yod, the Dalet over there is without a Dagesh. So there it's not Adonai, there's no Dagesh in the Dalet, it's Ado. You understand? Over there, especially when we're reciting Shem Hashem, it's good to, now again, if you recited it with a Dagesh, Bevaday Yatzai Dechova. But the more correct of the two is, because it's Rafui, is to have it as a Dalet Bezat Hashem. So you got through Aleph, Bet, Rimal, Dalet. Hashem will continue with the otiyot next time, and we still have nikudim and tnot gedolot, tnot ktanot, beget kefet, and other rules to deal with. Bezat Hashem next time. Kol tov. I tried to do it all in one cheer tonight. Look where that comes.
Because we have a maisa every single letter.